Hello, somebody. This is Nina Turner, and I want to tell you about Power Hour with yours truly, Nina Turner, the new weekly program I'm hosting for TYT. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I'll be bringing the heat for an hour filled with power. We'll speak truth to power, we'll talk about how to fight the power, and we'll plan how to leverage the power that we the people have. This show is for TYT members only, but for a limited time, we'll be making the first half an hour available to everyone, then the second half an hour just for members. For access to the full show, be sure to sign up for TYT membership at tyt.com/join today.
All right, welcome to Power Hour with Nina Turner. Nina, how are you? I think Nina's having trouble hearing me, which could be a bit of a problem when since we're trying to do the show together. She can't even hear me when I tell her that I'm enjoying her glasses. Her glasses look really good. I haven't seen those ones before. All right, we're gonna have to work on that. Because if Nina can't hear or talk, not gonna be much of a show. So I will read one member comment as we try to sort that out. Paul Carlton wrote in, I'm a fan of all the shows on TYT Network, but I'll have to say that since I've been watching Indisputable, I've been immensely enjoying it. Paul, that's great, but focus, this is Power Hour. You're supposed to compliment me and Nina. No, I'm kidding. I love that you love Indisputable. Okay, can we try again? No. Nina, can you hear me?
Barely, it's faint.
It's faint. Okay, we're gonna work on that. I will speak loudly, which I am good at. All right, Nina, a bit of a disastrous week for Democrats. Why do you think they lost in Virginia?
Because they lost their damn way. The voters are fed up. You had the Democratic candidate running on Trump when Trump is not even in office anymore. And you had the Republican candidate running on the local issues and running a populist, although extreme message, you know, throwing in the critical race theory on one hand, but then saying the teachers deserve a raise on another. At least he kept it localized, out of touch, lost their way. And it's not just that they didn't deliver on the social and climate components of reconciliation or the hard infrastructure. It's that they have been running away from their promises and acting as though they are helpless. And that definitely confounded the situation in Virginia for Democrats.
You know, Nina, you said something there that I haven't heard anybody else say. And I think that they have. I just don't watch cable news much. But it's certainly not something that people are focusing on. That McAuliffe ran the campaign against Trump. And so, yeah, people don't like Trump in Virginia. He doesn't poll well. And I'm sure that's why they did it. But I think that it might have annoyed people because they're like, Trump's not in this race. Why are you talking about things that are not relevant to me? Do you think that was a bigger part than people realize?
I do. I mean, Youngkin was very smart, his campaign. They ran a smart campaign. I mean, I didn't want him to win, but they did. I support Trump, I'm down, but he didn't bludgeon people with Trump. He kind of distanced just enough, and he was able to win a lot of people over in that state, suburbanites over in that state, and white women, once again, voting that way. That's a whole nother conversation we got to have. Why is it that black women in the black community overwhelmingly support the Democrats? And then you got a whole bunch of white women going the other way. But I digress. You asked me a specific question. Yeah, Youngkin, he ran a very local campaign. Even if, and I know you and I don't agree with that nonsense, I'm talking about a critical race theory. But, you know, some of the people in that state were upset because parents have been told basically shut up, go home. You don't know what you're talking about. When they're talking about their children and their children's needs, you might not agree with everything that parent says or does, but one way to piss them off or alienate them is basically to dismiss them and pat them on their heads and tell them, you go run along, we know what's best for you. So it was elitism at its worst that took hold in that race, and it was on the Democratic side.
So Nina, I said on the show today, I want to run this by you, that there was a completely different way that they could have handled that critical race theory stuff, right? So it's not actually being taught in any of the schools. As we all know, it's a 100% manufactured controversy. But what McAuliffe and Democrats could have done is challenge the media and say to them, look, the Republicans are lying to the parents of Virginia. They're disrespecting the parents of Virginia. So do your job and tell everybody it is not in dispute. It is definitely, definitely not being taught. And you should ask Youngkin and all the Republicans in Virginia, why are you lying about this? Because it's not in dispute, definitely not taught, right? And so, but I think one of the reasons, Nina, they don't do that is because they think challenging the media is unacceptable. That they, and it would be uncivil. And I don't know if there are other factors, but they let that go. And it's part of the attitude that the elitist corporate Democrats have, which is they never go on the offense. They're always playing defense. And when you're playing, always playing defense, every sports fan knows you're gonna lose a lot of games.
That's it. No, they just don't have the heart or the courage. And plus, it was that election was boring. I mean, you have all of the disarray on the federal level that is impacting that race. Not 100% of it, but a lot of, I mean, you voted for Democrats, right? They ran on a free college, a 2-year college. They ran on making sure that we could expand Medicare. Ran on prescription drugs, all of those things. And then you see the Democratic Party on the federal level saying, oh my God, we can't do it. The party in charge with all the power can't do it. So if you're a voter in Virginia, you might say, well, what the hell am I voting for this guy for? On the federal level, they say they can't do anything to help change my material condition. So I'm not even gonna fool with them. Furthermore, we got a gubernatorial candidate on the Democratic side that's not even talking about our issues, but Youngkin is.
Yeah, look, the lowering drug price, I've said this a million times because it's true and it's so overwhelming and so easy to do. Lowering drug prices polls at 88%. So, and this is kind of a rando thing because McAuliffe doesn't have much to do with it, but politics is rando. Critical race theory isn't even being taught, and Youngkin won the election based on a lie that doesn't have anything to do with Virginia, right? So McAuliffe, on the other hand, could have said, hey, you know what? I'm gonna hold my own party accountable. I want lower drug prices. Why haven't Manchin's cinema, or if he wanted to even throw progressives into the lot, why haven't Democrats passed lower drug prices? I'm gonna demand lower drug prices for you guys. Even though it's a federal issue, who cares? He looks like he's arguing for 9 out of 10 voters who really, really want lower drug prices. And my thesis—
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead, Anina.
No, I was just, you know, most people have a parent or some elder that they love that need those drug prices to come down. It impacts, you know, a lot of the sandwich generation where you have older parents and then you also have children coming up. They're watching their parents suffer, or at least they know somebody that's suffering. And yeah, McAuliffe could have very easily said, I'm standing up and I am going to demand it. I am going to use the full force and weight of the governor's office in the great state of Virginia that President Biden won, what, by 10 points? Yeah, I'm gonna have this conversation with my party. Get with it. And you know what? As your governor, your next governor, back again, repeat governor, I'm gonna make sure they get with it. But we're gonna get with it in Virginia. I'm gonna do everything that I can to make your lives better, more fulfilling, happy. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff he could have said, Cenk. You are so right on that.
Yeah, and of course he doesn't say that because corporate Democrats never challenge their own, and they think it's the biggest crime in America to challenge fellow Democrats, and they never challenge the donor class because they are the donor, they're part of the donor class. And Terry McAuliffe is if you don't know this, if you don't know this, guys, Terry McAuliffe has raised more money for the Democrats than maybe any human in history. I mean, certainly Pelosi and the Clintons would probably beat him, but of that are not at the national level. McAuliffe is a giant, giant fundraiser. There's probably no Democrat that is more known as a corporate Democrat than Terry McAuliffe. That's why he doesn't adopt incredibly popular Democratic positions, because it would piss off his donors. And that's how you lose elections. But Nina, I'm sure everybody on cable news was talking about that, right? McAuliffe lost the election because he didn't want to piss off corporate donors.
Of course they were.
Instead, they blamed us.
And that was, you know, there were two black women, I believe, and a Latinx woman who started off, I think, on the journey towards at least seeking the governor's seat. Hey, you could have had somebody different and new, but the Democrats opted for, you know, old and boring. And I don't mean age-wise, I just mean that he'd been around that block already.
Yeah, we obviously don't mean age-wise, we both supported Bernie Sanders.
That's you doggone right, ageism, never.
Never. Never. You know what progressives care about? Policy. It's not complicated.
That's it.
Okay, so now Buffalo is super interesting. But before I go there, obviously we're heartbroken by what happened to India Walton. But before we go there, I did want to talk about one other facet of Virginia, which is our story of the week. It's about the demographics in that Virginia race. So to give you guys context, in 2013, when McAuliffe won, he barely won. He won by about 3 points. And he had lost the white vote by 20 points. But since he won the black vote by over 90 points, he wound up with that narrow victory. And the demographic that carried him the most of any particular age and race and gender group, subgroup basically, was black women. 93% voting for McAuliffe. So if less black women had showed up, he would have lost. If he'd only gotten, I don't know the exact numbers, but if he'd gotten in the 80s with black women, he would have lost. But it was overwhelming. And so those are facts. And in this race, he didn't do as well and lost because of that. And McAuliffe, by the way, says that. He told Jonathan Capehart when he ran into him, without Capehart's prodding, what was the most important factor? Black women voters. So Nina, did he then go out of his way to appeal to black women voters? So, I mean, just on a purely personal note, just to win re-election, did he deliver for them? Did he, you know, try to appeal to them? Did he make a giant effort in that direction?
No, Gene, because it's expected. The Democratic Party, not only does it take its base kind of globally for granted, it especially takes black women and the black community, black women and black men for granted. And yes, black women carried him during that election cycle. However, black men were not that far behind. And one of the things that pisses me off to no end is the way that the Democratic Party goes out of its way to separate black men from black women in a way that is not edifying. I think, you know, definitely black women have to be lifted and acknowledged and a lot more done for us. But to me, the way they do it, they alienate black men. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Trump got a greater share of black men and also Hispanic men when he ran both times, because both of those groups are feeling very much left behind by the Democratic Party. But it is especially how they always say, black women come through, come through. Black women been coming through for this party, you know, since day one, coming through for this country since day one. And one of the headlines we have from another article, black women save the Democrats, don't make us do it again. You know, and that's a very, very important point. Why do we gotta keep doing it? When is the rest of the Democratic Party gonna step up and not only save this party, save this country? And I started talking about the stats of white women, and white women helped propel Youngkin to victory. So while black women are sitting up there lifting up McAuliffe and the Democratic Party, you got our white sisters, family and friends lifting up Youngkin in the same way that they lifted up Trump.
Yeah, let me just correct myself. I said 93%. To be accurate, it was 91% of the African American female vote went to McAuliffe in 2013 in the election that he won. But he lost white women by 16 points. So white people overall by 20 points, white women by 16 points. But you know, we keep talking about, and a lot of these articles do, about how black women delivered for Democrats. But have Democrats delivered for black women? And to your point, black women and black men, I mean, where's voting rights?
That's it. Where's the voting rights? You know, there are groups right now protesting, getting arrested, right? You know, not right at this hour, but right now, and begging the party in control to do something of substance to expand and protect voting rights in the 21st century. The For the People Act, Cenk, you and I have talked about that ad nauseam. TYT has covered that from the time it was introduced. We got the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. We have the George Floyd Policing Act. None of those things have happened. Not one of those things have happened. And the Republicans just voted down the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, right? Just a couple of days ago, voted it down. What does that say to the Democrats? We must get rid of the filibuster. How many times, how many ways, how many languages do we have to say that to you? But they tiptoeing around it, Jake. So no, they haven't delivered for the black community. And not that the black community is the only community that cares about voting rights. It is just because the black community has a unique experience in this country when it comes to voting rights. And also when it comes to racial injustice, a unique experience. And that is why you will see the black community really taking the lead on issues of criminal justice reform and also voting rights, not just for the black community, but for all communities. But it is something that will always be near and dear culturally because of the black experience in this country. And they haven't done a damn thing, Jane. And it embarrasses me. It hurts me to my core to see my allies and my colleagues have to march and get arrested right to this day to beg these fools to do something to strengthen voting rights. Because the Republicans are having a field day right now in legislatures and governor's mansions all across this country. And they done added another fool to the list.
Yeah, so I want to clarify the last couple of things here and then we'll go to Buffalo. Nina makes a great point. That's right, Ben Jealous is leading the People for the American Way. And he's going down there and protesting every other week. They're getting arrested, they're doing civil disobedience. He's brought in the League of Women Voters with him. Then he's bringing in celebrities like Alyssa Milano to get media attention. And they're trying everything to get voting rights. And Biden and the Democrats totally ignoring them. When we talk about demographics, Democrats and consultants look at that and they go, okay, how can we appeal to these demographics in this way and that way? And in like artificial ways, marketing campaigns, etc. How about you try policy? So African Americans care about voting rights for the historical reasons that Nina Turner pointed out. Why don't you give them voting rights? That would help your party anyway. Like, these are not hard. Women, why don't you ask Youngkin about, hey, are you gonna do the same law as Texas? So if he says no, that puts him in trouble with his base and it'll depress voter turnout. If he says yes, then you could turn around and go, oh my God, look at this. He's gonna take away all of your rights. He's gonna use you as chattel in Virginia. We're gonna go back 100 years. That polls really well. So, but that's policy. They're the worst. All right, last thing on it is, I just wanna double down on what Nina said about the Democrats. Chuck Schumer puts out a tweet and he's like, well, what the Republicans are doing by not agreeing to the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and stuff, it's outrageous and none of them agreed to it. Well, Chuck, why don't you do something about it? You could take away the filibuster tomorrow and you could pressure Manchin and Sinema. You could be a leader. Are you the leader or are you not the leader? And then we'd have a John Lewis Act, we'd have For the People Act, we could have all of it literally tomorrow. It just means you're a terrible leader. You can't get your caucus to do core democratic policies. Unless, of course, you're all lying and you never intended to do any of that. But it can't be, it's gotta be one or the other. Anyway, speaking of lying Democrats, let's go to Buffalo. So India Walton was running, of course, and she won the Democratic primary. She's a Democratic socialist. We had her here on the show. Nina's a big supporter of hers as well. And then the Democratic incumbent, who is very conservative and ran a right wing campaign against her, decided he's going to run in the general election because unity it was always a joke. He did a writing campaign and he won. So obviously that's super disappointing. Nina, what's your takeaway from that?
That corporatist Dems will rough up their own mama to defeat progressives. I mean, they really will. We saw it in my race. We saw it in what happened to India. Ran a stellar campaign, very strong campaign. Not only did I get my time, I gave my time, talent, and treasure, went door to door with India, working very hard, lobbying other progressive groups. And thank you and Wolfpack for making a donation to her. But no. Lobbied really, really hard to get other organizations to come through in a mighty way, because I saw the handwriting on the wall, because it just happened to me differently, but pretty much the story, the frame is the same. And if a progressive, as you noted, she won the primary and the incumbent just could not let that go. She had to go to court. So she expended a lot of resources, both time resources and money resources, beating him back, having courts rule for him and then rule for her. And then ultimately, they found a way to make a very robust write-in, because usually write-in campaigns are not successful. But I knew in my gut that they were going to give this everything that they had. Her opponent was backed by the incumbent mayor, was backed by Republicans who made it really clear that they were going to be by his side, helping him win this race. And corporatist Dems barely said nary word. You had the chair, we talked about this, the chair of the New York Democratic Party compare her candidacy when he was asked, why isn't the New York Democratic Party supporting India Walton? He compared her candidacy to that of damn David Duke. I mean, that's how far gone these people are. So we have not seen the last of India Walton, but what happened to her, what was done at the hands of corporatist Democrats and their play being backed by Trump Republicans is something that is utterly shameful. And you know what? The Democrats are not saying a word. They just kind of let it happen. I know Senator Schumer came in at the 11th hour and said, oh, I'm going to back her. But you know what? They didn't put the full force and weight of their efforts behind making sure that she won. They didn't chastise or criticize the incumbent mayor about what he was doing to her. But had that been a mainline Democrat, oh, they would just be crying bloody murder right now.
Yeah, just to clarify, it was Rebellion PAC that donated.
I mean Rebellion PAC, I'm sorry.
Not Wolf PAC.
Wolf PAC, I'm sorry, Rebellion PAC. Lord, okay. I'm thinking about.
No, Wolf PAC just made money
Rebellion
out of politics.
PAC. I'm thinking about Tim Black.
Although Wolf PAC could, because she's India Walton's for getting money out of politics, and Jay Jacobs, I'm sorry.
He not is.
Byron Brown definitely is not. He loves corporate money. And so speaking of Jay Jacobs, so that's the party chair for the Democrats in New York. He also said, I just saw the story, AOC actually tweeted about it, that's how I saw it, that they had three prop measures for ensuring voting rights in New York. And in New York, the voting system is actually awful. And it does favor incumbents because it suppresses voter turnout. And it turns out the Democratic Party didn't spend anything to get those passed. And then they asked Jay Jacobs, why didn't you spend any money? They lost. Incredibly popular ballot measures lost because they got outspent 10-1. He said, oh, nobody asked me to spend money on that. What an unbelievable liar. All the groups were like, no, of course we asked you to spend money on that. And so, because they liked the corruption, and India Walton wasn't corrupt. And so they hated her for not being corrupt. And they hated you for not being corrupt. Here, I'm gonna give you one of our members here. It's gonna lead to a question. Newfie Dragon said, I'm still upset about how you got screwed out of the last election, but please keep the faith, we need you. So, Nina.
There's a reason you always trust your gut. Your whole body's health depends on it. Did you know 70% of your immune system resides in your gut? Invest in your health with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Get whole body benefits, including gut, heart, skin, and digestive health from 24 clinically and scientifically studied probiotic strains and a plant-based prebiotic. Go to seed.com/gut and use code 25GUT for 25% off your first month. That's seed.com/gut, code 25GUT.
Look, they spent a ton of money against you. Everybody, Democrats, right-wingers, corporatists, the national media all ganged up on you. India Walton, same thing. So she wins, you had the lead, she had the lead, and everybody piles on and says, oh, don't do it. And they do the smear campaigns, etc. And both you and her lost. Now, I can't blame people for getting dispirited. How the hell do we get past that when all of these forces of evil pile up against us?
To recognize that reality. You know, we talk about on this Power Hour, we're gonna speak the truth, fight the power, get the power, use the power. We just can't get weary and well doing. And I know it is hard. I have my own moments where I question, you know, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep? We have to do it for the people who came before us that put a lot on the line. We have to do it for ourselves in this current moment, and we have to do it for future generations, because stuff like this is going to happen one way or the other. And I would rather know that it is happening and that people who are of conscious mind from all walks of life are not just going to sit back and not be in the fight. That is why we must keep pushing. And you know what? We're going to have some valley moments and we will have mountaintop moments. I mean, just as you and I, Jink, are talking about Virginia and we're talking about absolutely what happened to India Walton, two different, not even a comparison to those two, but we're just talking about those two. We do have progressives who have actually won all across this country in more localized elections. We just must keep pushing no matter what, in our anger and our frustration. We must never, 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 ever, ever give up, ever give up. And one of my favorite sheroes, Harriet Tubman, has a great quote. I don't quite have it all memorized verbatim, but she just says, keep, you know, keep going. If there's dogs, you know, coming at, keep going. Noise in the woods, keep going. If you want to taste the freedom, keep going. Never stop, keep going. And that is the moment that we are in. She was talking about that in reference to chattel slavery, no doubt. It is apropos, her underlining message is apropos to the human struggle for dignity and justice for all. That in the face of evil and corrupt power, we must keep going no matter what. I always say evil never sleeps, so good can never take a vacation. And we just got to settle in that we are constantly going to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because justice is not a destination, Jane. It's a journey. It never stops.